Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
I've been captured by your love, I can't explain. Oh, now you have me, and I'm forever changed. Oh,
to you. pastor, assistant pastor. I greet you and all the lovely saints of God. I greet you tonight in the wonderful name of Jesus. It's the scripture that said, "Oh, good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Hallelujah! Glory to Jesus. It said it's like a oil that comes down Aaron's beard. So unity is good because God is unity and God is one God. Hallelujah. Hail Israel, but the Lord our God is one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord Jesus. Help me, Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I need help. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Bless the Lord Jesus. Jesus. The lesson tonight is going to be taken from St. Matthew chapter 26. St. Matthew chapter 26. And we're going to read from verse 36 to verse 39. I know we just celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. As I have said before, you know, in my last message when I stand before you to preach or to speak, I said sometimes I speak a little fast. I really go fast, so sometimes it's kind of hard to understand. Some people don't understand my language, but I'm praying that God has helped me to kind of slow it down so you can understand, you know, and God will be done. Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Praise God. As I was saying that, I know that, we just celebrated death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and Easter is past. You know, and so the scripture that we're reading, coming from right now, it's part about Jesus Christ, you know, about to, you know, after he finished his Lord's Supper, and about to go to his death. And, you know, when he was talking to his disciples, hallelujah. And I just read that it said, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter, the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then said he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." Verse 39. "And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Father, in the name of Jesus, Father God, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for your word, O God. I thank you for your people. I thank you because you are God and you are God alone, hallelujah. And there is none like you. Father God, as I stand before your people tonight, O God, nothing in my arms I bring, O God, but simply to the cross I cling. Right now, God, I ask you to look at me, God, to the blood of Jesus, O God. And help me, dear God, as I bring forth your word, dear God, that it may be of you, God, and not of self, O God. Lord, I pray right now, back on every power of darkness, every situation, every circumstance, anything that the enemy may put in the way. Lord God, I commit it into your hands right now. Lord, speak through me, O God. Use me for your service, for your glory, O God. And let your will be done in my life. I surrender all to you right now. Let the voice I can hear, God, is not my voice, O God, but the voice of the archangel from heaven speaking to them, O God. Give somebody the words that you need, O God. And I thank you for hearing me as I look to you and say thanks in Jesus' name. Praise God. Hallelujah. So my message will be taken from the 39th verse. And it said, "And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed and said, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." And my topic is nevertheless, with obedience and faith believing. So it's nevertheless, with obedience and faith believing. And I just want to look at a few words for these words that I'm going to use tonight. So as I go forward, you know, you may have an understanding of what I'm saying. And some synonyms that we can use for nevertheless is however, regardless, in spite of, even so, all the same, sit still, albeit, nonetheless. And for obedience, it said compliance, agreement, submission, respect, willingness, and reverence. For faith, it said faith is the substance. In faith is the essence, the reality of things hoped for, the evidence, the proof that we have, the conviction in our soul that we have of things not seen. And believing, it said, trusting, having faith, convinced, no doubt, and we're sure. So if you look at faith and believing, it's going to work together. You're going to get the same meaning of both of them. And as I look through the words and the scripture, one thing that God requires from us as Christians and as child of God is complete obedience. No matter what we do, no matter what our life is, no matter what we are going through, God requires complete obedience for us. And God sometimes wants to do things in our life. God sometimes wants to accomplish things in our life. And sometimes we listen to our friends and our family. But most of all, we listen to the lies of the devil. We get so sidetracked, and so God can't do, or our stubborn will get in the way, and God can't do what He wants to do in us. Because we do our own thing, and we are listening to the wrong voice. Hallelujah. And you know, I remember in the past, always preaching, He said that everything that we do in life, God has it in the scripture. And I have proven that. Things that we are going through or what we are about to go through, there's somebody in the scripture who have already gone through it. And the Bible said these things are there for us as an example. So we don't have an excuse when God wants to use us or God wants to do something with us. We don't have an excuse because it already happened. And God put it there for us to know that this is the outcome. This is going to be the situation. This is going to be what the penalty is if we disobey God. And I want to take it to Jonah. God sent Jonah to Nineveh because the people were wicked. And the wickedness come up before God. And so God said, I'm going to destroy Nineveh. So God sent Jonah down to Nineveh. But because Jonah wanted to have his own way, Jonah decided he's going to board the ship to Tarshish. He's running from God. Can we run from God? We can't run from God. God is omnipotent. God is omniscient. God is everywhere. God is an all-powerful God. We can't hide from God. Psalm 139, verse 7 and 10 said, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I make the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, Jonah went down in the uttermost part of the sea. And God allowed a fish to swallow Jonah. So you can't hide from God. He said, even there, thy hand led me, and thy right hand shall hold me. We cannot hide from God at all. Because God is a God of order. God is a God of business. God means business. So we can't hide from God. And if God ordained you, if God had you to do something, you can't run. Because He mandated you. He called you. He prepared you. He fixed you up for that purpose. You know, as I was saying before that, you know that I'm speaking of nevertheless. And nevertheless can be a good thing. And it could be a bad thing. And let me explain why I said that. And if you turn to Acts chapter 13 and verse 22nd verse, you know, I'll give you, we're talking about David here and what God said about David.
Thank you, Lord.
He said, and when He had removed him, so now removing who? He's talking about Saul. Because to God's will. And God hates people who disobey. That's why we're in the situation we're in today. Because Adam and Eve disobeyed from the garden. And so you can see how God feels about people who are being disobedient. So God said that, the Bible said that, God, when God had removed David, God rejected Saul. And said, no, he raised up David to be their king. Whom he testified and said, I have found in David the son of Jesse, a man after my whole heart, who shall fulfill all my will. Look at what he said. He said, he shall fulfill all my will. But when self take in, nevertheless, when self take in, when our stubborn will take in, and we want to do our own thing, that is a different thing. David was a man of God's own heart. God said, David will do my will, what he said. But listen to this. Let's look at 2 Samuel chapter 24. Verse 1-8. David is a man of God's own heart. And David will do the will of God. But when self take over, when the flesh come in, when I feel like I am my own man or my own woman, and I feel like I can do whatever I want, then it's a whole different thing. Listen to what Satan, what happened. And God, and Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. Remember, Israel was God's chosen people. And remember that God had told Abraham that if he can number the stars of the heaven, he's going to make his seed as much as that, if he can count it. So God's people cannot be numbered. God is a God that is great. God's people cannot be numbered. Because God is God. And David said unto Job and to the ruler of the people to go number Israel from Beersheba, even to Dan, and bring the number to them, to me, that I may know it. And Job answered, the Lord make his people 100 times so many more as they be. But my Lord the king, are they not at all my Lord's servant? Why then does my Lord require this thing? Why will he be a cause to transgress against Israel? So David numbering the children of Israel is against God. God does not like that. Nevertheless, so like I said, nevertheless can be good and can be bad. And this is the bad part of nevertheless. Nevertheless, in spite of Job's warning, in spite of Job said, why are you doing this? These are God's people. God, people are so much more. Why are you numbering God's people? The king feel like he is the king. So I'm going to do this anyway. The king word prevailed against Job. Wherefore Job departed and went toward all Israel and came to Jerusalem. And he numbered the people. Down to verse 6 it said, but Levi and Benjamin he counted he not among them, for the king's word was abominable unto Job. The words were very bad. It's like this, numbering God's people is abominable. Don't do this thing against God. God doesn't like this, don't do this. And so the Bible said that, and God was displeased with this thing, therefore, he smote Israel. Because God was displeased with what David did, God smote Israel. And David said, I have sinned greatly again and have done this thing, but now I beseech thee, do away with the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done foolishly. And you know what happened? When we do wrong before God, there's always going to be a chastisement. From once you're a child of God, and you're called upon the name of Jesus Christ, and you falter, martyr, you're gonna get whipping. God's gonna chastise you one way or the other. You may be wondering, why am I going through all this? Why I can't get better? Why all these things are happening to me? Because God is dealing with you. Because our own self-will, our own stubborn will, disobedient will, cause us to do the things that God said do not do. And this is what happened to David. And God gave them a tree choice. The first one is that either 3 years famine or 3 months to be destroyed before thy foe. While that the sword of that enemy overtake thee, or else 3 days the sword of the Lord, even a pestilence in the land, and the angel of the Lord destroying throughout all the course of Israel. Now therefore, advise thyself what word I shall bring against him that sent me. And David said unto God, I am in a strait. I am in deep distress. I'm worn out. I don't know what to do. And he said, let me fall in the hands of the Lord, for great are his mercy. But let me not fall in the hands of man. When we disobey God, and if we don't fall on our face and say, God, forgive me, who knows what will happen to us? God gave David a choice. 3 choices God gave David. And David knew if he fell in the hands of his enemy, that they would kill him. But he said, if I fall into the hands of the Lord, at least I know that God will deliver me. At least I know that he will have mercy upon me. At least I know I won't be destroyed forever. God called David. David was a man of God's own heart. And God said that David will do my will. But yet still, nevertheless, David did something that was what God wanted to do. We have to be careful as children of God. We got to be careful of the voices that we heard, that we listened to as pastor preach. The voices that are telling us, oh yes, it's okay. Yes, a little bit, this is okay. Yes, a little bit, that is okay. And it doesn't matter. It does matter. It matters to God. Because God is watching us. God is listening to us. He sees every move that we make. He sees every turn, everything that we do. He's watching us. And when we may be running an idol and saying that God is not, my pastor is not seeing me, or my brethren is not seeing me, or my sister is not seeing me, but they're all seeing eyes. He's watching. Hallelujah. He's watching, he's watching, he's watching. We cannot run from God. Jonah tried to run from God. God said no, Jonah. And Jonah tried to run from God. Are we running from, is anyone running from God tonight? Sometimes we run, sometimes we hear the word of God come over and over and over. And we just let it be. We don't accept it. We leave it on the bench. We don't live by the word. We don't accept it. We have to live by the word for us to grow. There's a little song that we always sing it when I was growing up, and I love teaching the Sunday school children. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you grow. Grow, grow. Neglect your Bible. Forget to pray. And you shrink. You shrink. If you don't read your Bible, Hallelujah. Job tried to run. Jeremiah said, I formed you from when he was in your mother's womb, before you even did have been born. I formed you. I made you. I ordained you. Oh God, he can go forth and preach my word to the people. Hallelujah. And because God has placed that word in him, hallelujah. When that Jeremiah said, I want to stop, Jeremiah said, I can't stop. I feel excited.
Hallelujah, just say, oh my Lord, as the Lord liveth, I only have this. Hallelujah.
and she fixed him, and then she went back and fixed Rosheva's son. So the anthem stretched warm and it go out, and she never ran out. So faith believing, obedience is very important to her. God require obedience from us. Hallelujah. God require obedience from us. Another thing, we're going to stand for God in ours in any type of situation. We just stand for God. God will stand for you. I'm coming on. God will stand for you. Hallelujah. It reminds me of the three Hebrew boys when they were in the Nebuchadnezzar surrounded. And Nebuchadnezzar built his idol. Hallelujah. Jesus. And God said, don't let. And Nebuchadnezzar said, you got to bow down before me. But they stand. They stand. And they said that even if our